How can we be rescued? Rescued from what? Rescued from our own internal demons, restlessness, dissatisfaction or disappointments, all the turmoil that we suffer within us and don't find a way out or a way to escape it because it keeps coming back. Sometimes stronger, sometimes in obsessions, or in depressions, or in repressions and suppressions, or in pressure from within, pressure from outside. We rescue ourselves in very good ways, ways accessible to us. And we become aware of those as we study our old habits, and our ways of seeing and doing things. So what is this way? It's a beautiful way. It's a way of exploring. It's like climbing a steep, steep cliff. But we have good hiking gear. We have all the equipment we need. And there is treasure to find as we rescue ourselves. We can find depths of peace. We can find a serenity beyond this world that we have within us. It's like a bottomless pool, so deep, so profound, it can never end. There is no end to the serenity we can find. So let us begin that, because it's at our fingertips, in the silence, and we don't even know it. So, what do you know? What do you know? We will find out. In daily life, we're trying to overcome the way the mind takes over, and it takes over so secretly, so deftly, like even this morning, walking in and facing the music of community life. Is there music in the heart, or is there discord? And if we're not mindful, the discord will immediately rule, because look at the world, the state of the world is, as soon as people are fighting and contesting each other, then there's a war, and right away out come the guns. But we do that to ourselves if we're not being mindful, so the grump can quickly take over the shiny good mood that, you know, when you wake up and feel grateful to be alive, but then you have to face the bricks and mortar of your life. So with the Vinaya, the Buddha gives us the most excellent template possible, if we trust it. It really is, because we have a set of rules, you could call them edicts, their pronouncements, their declarations. Do this, do not do that. Well, that might sound very strong, and like an enforcement. It is. If people are driving on the road and they can get away with speeding, they will, because we're disobedient and we're reckless and we have this kind of animal nature in us, which is not very wise, which is a little wayward and has to be pointed, directed, governed. And then those unwholesome tendencies have to be vanquished and well governed, well restrained. So when we're given these beautiful guidelines for how to live, they don't only govern our outward way of moving and interacting, but they also govern our way of moving and interacting within the mind. So, in front of a grumpy mood, what do we do? Well, right here, to Gotami, the Buddha said, these qualities lead to dispassion, not to passion. So if there's some kind of out of control emotion or passionate feeling, what can we do with that? We can disarm it. If it's disturbing our mood, our mind state, can we disarm it? Can we vanquish it? Can we vinaya it? The vinaya is a way of putting things in their rightful place so that we're not disturbed. We're not upset. Instead of being on the path with our feet set on the path, we're upset. That means we fall over. And the falling over is scary. It can make us feel afraid because we're losing control, or we feel insecure, or we're then moving from fear rather than from strength. But what really has taken our strength away? It's just a dis, like a disappointment, a dismay in the heart. So the vanquishing of that can be so subtle. Just knowing it is already the beginning of vanquishing. So the Buddha's template is right there for us, no matter how well we know the rules or how poorly we know the rules. The one rule that we do know is to pay attention and call it by its true name, whatever is arising. Right away, if you know your enemy, and the enemy could be a thought, it could be a mental state, it could be a feeling in the heart, it could be something so subtle, but if we're not mindful of it, it slowly takes over, just like mist. Mist in the air is not rain, but it creates a cloud, and it prevents us from seeing clearly. So some kind of heavy feeling in the heart may creep in and be misty, but if we're using this vinaya vanquishing focus, then we know, all right, what's the right attitude here? What will help me out of this mist? And even if it's subtle mist, if we're aware of it, it won't gather its force, and then before we know it, we're depressed. Or, get me out of here, I hate this. And that's outright giving up. Being negative, we know, is not helpful. It's better to vanquish our negativity. But sometimes we have to notice there's a certain power in that negativity. And we can actually, we're able to look at ourselves in the mirror through this witnessing, this act of witnessing and being aware of what we're doing without this sense of self, just knowing it, seeing it like it's a movie happening, there's a certain power going on, a certain energy that's being given to that negativity. And if we shine the mirror of the heart onto that energy, then we can capture it back and turn it to something sweet and very, very helpful, supportive, blessing ourselves, being positive, being energized. Right out of that negativity, you just reclaim that energy. And when you look at it in the mirror, you could make something funny out of it. Like someone with a bad mood, you can make a big nose or grow one of your ears big. Because in a mirror, things can be distorted and you can make them humorous. Like the other day, I was shaving my head and I hadn't shaved in 10 days. So it was a bit longer than usual and it was much harder to cut. I got so frustrated. I had half the head shaved and half of it covered with shaving cream and hair everywhere. And I looked in the mirror and I just found it so hilarious. There is this funny looking head. Instead of being frustrated, I found it humorous, and the humor gave me energy, and before I knew it, I was all clean and shiny head. So These are little ways that the mirror of the mind, the mirror of seeing what we're doing as just a passing show, like something in a movie, like something quite funny or sweet instead of some horror movie. We can change that by the power of our own awareness and the power of seeing not as me and mine, not as a self, but just witnessing and watching it arise, go for a little bit, and tweak it here, tweak it there, add some funny features, make the lips bigger, the body look like a balloon, make it a rabbit jumping in front of you. Whatever image, you can take that instead and use that to reap the energy to harvest some goodness, some joy, and some gratitude from whatever experience we receive from life. That would be the real vanquishing of those internal sights, sounds, smells, tastes, touch sensations that are displeasing or upsetting to us, or meetings that we have with other people that are unpleasant and upsetting. We can set them up instead of being upset, set them right, just by being able to watch and see it's impermanent. In a day, I won't remember this. Or in a month, I won't certainly remember this. In a year, totally, I won't remember it, most likely. And when I do, I can smile with that perspective and wisdom of life. So the Vinaya helps us to stay on the path. That's the purpose of it. One of the most beautiful points, I think it's probably at the heart of all these qualities, is this attitude of contentment. Contentment is one of those templates that compels us to look. Because contentment means you're sitting with what is, and you're content, you're pleased, it's enough. It's just in itself, this is how it is, this is beautiful. But when the heart is grumbling, it may not be fully unhappy, but it's already misty. It's already in a fog, and we're about to fall into a pit. Contentment, even with mist, will prevent that falling into the pit. It's just awareness of grumpiness or awareness of discontentment. So we try to get from discontentment to contentment and try to gauge by being the witness, not identifying with the conditions, and to step back from the place of being the witness of the unconditioned, which is very hard, but at least from a place of content with things as they are. And that means that we're aware of the blessing of this moment. I'm breathing. I'm healthy. It's good enough. Why is the mind really complaining? What is the heaviness in the heart? What is it leaning on? And then we remove the source of that by filling it in with thoughts of blessing, appreciation, gratitude. And then we start with contentment, or we're well planted in a good space. And that's a Vinaya. That's vanquishing all obstacles. You're on the path. You're not overburdened. You can see the path clearly in front of one foot. That's all we need. One foot, one step at a time. We're not running a race here. It might feel like a race, but there is no race. There's just one moment. And, you know, One moment of fear leads to fear. And one moment of joy is the mother of joy, because joy is gratitude. Joy is fearless. Joy is patient. Joy is loving. So this is a way of construing, compiling the bricks and mortars of safety, of a shelter for this moment. But we often disregard the power of moments. And the power of this moment is everything. It's the whole path in front of us. If we don't get this moment well, then we're already falling down. And we really want to rise up to this moment. So bringing in the practice is the first step. The mind is all over the place, but wait a minute, I'm a daughter of the Buddha. What's my role here? It's to remember the advice. The Buddha gave such good advice for every moment, not just for when we remember, but for calling into mind what's happening right now so that we do remember and we enact. We displace what is not helpful and we bring up, we introduce, we invite, we direct into the heart that which is a support and which is our salvation. You might find that a bit of a word, but it's true. It saves us from falling down, breaking apart, getting depressed, or feeling hopeless, or even the shade of disappointment is already heading in a dangerous direction. Because the mind is so unpredictable. And really we have to direct our thoughts to quieten, to calm, to serenity, to states of goodwill. But discontentment is not goodwill. It's inwardly directed. Even if it's about an external situation, it affects our whole state of being. Even critical mind state towards ourselves is a dangerous modality. We don't want to move from a place of being critical to ourselves, because the next thing you know will be critical to everyone. And we see that, I see that, happening unexpected. Wow, how did that happen? Criticizing everyone else or the person in front of you. Why? Because somewhere within us there's discontent. And so if we look deeply, we find the roots of our suffering within us. It's not out there. We can look at someone else, we can look at the situation and not like it and say, okay, that's no good. I'm going to get rid of that, or I'm leaving, or I've had enough. But in fact, if we study dukkha that we're experiencing, whether it's discontent, or it's laziness, or we feel bad about what we've done, we feel remorse, regret, the suffering can be overcome within the heart. It's not by changing the environment around us. It's not by running away. It's not by being critical of conditions. But it's by understanding the dukkha arising within us and seeing the root of it. Once we get to the root, we can easily nourish that, nurture it, water it correctly by turning the mind to contentment, to happiness, to gratitude, to, oh, look, the sun is shining. What am I worried about? Why am I despairing? Why am I truly angry? Oh, it's because so-and-so didn't treat me well. Oh, it's because they don't love me. But whatever it might be, we bring up that quality that we so long for within us. It's right there in the mind that is serene and glowing with the light of Dhamma that is within us. It is within us. One moment of appreciating the light of the sun that's in your face is enough. That's Vinaya, vanquishing all obstacles. But we have to look at what we feel and why, see the suffering, the origin of it, and bring that to the opposite or to the blessing that is within it. Within that suffering, there's the end of it. It's not outside that suffering. And then we're on the path. Right view and right understanding is right intention. And there we go. We're content. Even one moment of content, one moment of fearlessness is enough to bring in the next moment and the next moment. But if we're stuck in fear and we impose our view of, oh my, this is fearful, I cannot. And then there's a me and a mine and we own it. We're stuck, we're sunk, really. It's such a minute process, isn't it? It's almost inaudible. You can barely notice it, but it is strong. It's so powerful. It's a running river within us. And one breath that stops to be mindful, to be aware, sees all that and cuts it at its root. Even if we do that for one moment, we've set in motion a pattern of vanquishing, a pattern of knowing correctly what is to be known for what it is and redirecting skillfully, abandoning what needs to be abandoned and planting, refurbishing, growing what needs to grow. Giving it the food it needs, the space, the encouragement, the strength. And then before you know it, there's the joy. Then there's the serenity of mind. And then, little by little, we wake up and we live in waking up. It doesn't mean we don't trip, fall asleep, fall down, break up. Again, but we're strengthening the muscle of how to repair, refurbish, redeem, relinquish, revive, rescued, free, what is capable of being free. This is the Dhamma, this is the Vinaya, this is the teaching of the Buddha. So we can translate a lot of words, but applying them is a whole, translating them into real life is a lifelong work. Waking up is hard to do. That is true. But we do it.